Get a chance to sing it sometime soon. A little ring in there. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles as we go again to a life verse, Galatians 2:20. Ray Putnam, where are you, Ray? There you are, Ray. Thank you for giving us this verse to consider this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I've got to add another verse, though, because of the special nature of today. And I'm not just talking about Easter. So if you want to keep one finger in Galatians 2:20 there, flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Let no one deceive himself. If any among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to be a fool for Christ. I would rather be wise in your eyes than wise in the ways of the world and in the eyes of the world. Because if I and my brothers and sisters truly live by Galatians 2:20, if we truly live with the conviction that we have been crucified with Christ and that Christ lives in us, and the life we now live in the flesh is by faith in the Son of God. If we truly live that way, there are people in this world who will call us fools. But we don't care. They called you a fool too, Lord. And the resurrection showed otherwise. We are here today, along with 2 billion other believers around the world, to sing your praises, to seek your face, and to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ as being real, not only from the abundant evidence of the New Testament, but from the abundant evidence of our lives. Fill us, Lord. Grow us, equip us, empower us. Give us the same power that brought Christ forward from the tomb for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the last time Easter fell on April the 1st, April Fool's Day, was 1956. That was a while back. April Fool's Day equals Easter. Are we fools to believe in the resurrection? There are many who would say yes. You can go to any number of atheist or agnostic websites and they will say, this is what makes a Christian a fool, that you would believe that someone would rise up from the dead, that you would believe that what someone did on a cross 2,000 years ago might make a difference in your life. You're a fool. To which I say, okay. I don't mind being that kind of fool. Have you ever stopped to wonder where April Fool's Day came from? It's just been always there for all of our lives, right? But all these things come from somewhere. And the origination of April Fool's Day goes back to the 16th century when the Western world switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. We are now on the Gregorian calendar. The Julian calendar was one that the Romans put in place. And in that calendar, the new year began on March the 25th, started a whole week of celebrations that culminated on April the 1st. You can imagine making such a big switch in calendars so that the new year now began on January 1st instead of March 25th. was problematic back in the 16th century. And the original April Fool was someone who insisted on keeping celebrating the new year in the late March and early April. If on April 1st you were celebrating the brand new year and you were months behind everybody else, you were an April Fool. Over time, that changed into a day to play jokes on people. And that happens on an individual level. And also happens on a corporate level sometimes. Back in 1996, the Taco Bell Corporation announced that in order to help the country reduce the national debt, they were buying the Liberty Bell, and from henceforth, this day forward, it would be known as the Taco Liberty Bell. They took out full-page ads in all the national newspapers. And the sad thing is, some people believed it. I've been there, that's not on it. But maybe the most famous of all of the big league April Fool's Day pranks happened on April 1st, 1957. And the BBC did it. You know, the British Broadcasting Corporation. Some would say that is the biggest collection of stuffed shirts on the planet. They all talk high and fancy and dignified, and they would never do such a thing like that, would they? Well, back in 1957, on April 1st, they had a great big story on BBC TV announcing that because spring was coming early that year, there would be a bumper crop in the spaghetti harvest in Switzerland, and they even had film of the harvest going on. These happy peasants in Switzerland picking the spaghetti off the spaghetti trees. Now, the sad thing is that hundreds of people called in for many different reasons. Some were concerned. Some were concerned that that the price of spaghetti might crash and the economy suffer because there was such a bumper crop. Some wanted to know where they could get a spaghetti tree to plant. You got to wonder about some of these people. There are some gullible people in the world. The BBC had an answer for that, though. One of their commentators said, "We have heard from over 250 people who want to have their own spaghetti plant. All you have to do is take a can of tomato sauce, put a handful of spaghetti down in there, put it in the windowsill, and before too long, your spaghetti tree will begin to grow." Now, you got to wonder how many people did it, right? Sometimes we can get fooled. Everybody gets fooled sometimes. Is there anybody here who has never been fooled by something or somebody? It happens to us all, doesn't it? We think that we are being told something serious and we swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And then they break the news to us. Everybody gets fooled sometimes, but does that mean that we are fools? Well, perhaps. You know, I think a little foolishness in the world doesn't hurt too much. The Bible says that we can be wise fools. Maybe that's the best of all worlds, to be a wise fool. A wise fool is someone who chooses the foolishness of the cross. Billy Graham said in one of his crusade sermons in 1982, and it's been quoted over and over and over again and attributed to other people, but as far as I can tell, Billy Graham was the first one to say it. I can't do his voice. I wish I could. He stood and said, "I am Christ's fool. Whose fool are you?" Because everybody's some kind of fool. I am Christ's fool. Whose fool are you? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What a powerful name it is. I want to sing that. What a powerful name it is. Paul was not afraid to embrace the cross and be thought by some to be a fool. This was a man, one of the most highly educated men, one of the most intelligent men of his age. And sometimes we get all wrapped up in the reputation of our intelligence and the reputation of our wisdom, and we don't want to look a fool. Holds us back. Paul wasn't held back. He was willing to be Christ's fool. And that's why he wrote the words to the Galatians that is our life verse today. I have been crucified with Christ. Do you realize what an offensive thing that would have been to say in the first century of the Roman Empire AD? The only people who were crucified were the worst criminals or traitors. Crucifixion was not something to be held up and boasted about. Crucifixion was a shameful thing. And yet Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Not just I believe in the crucifixion. You know, there's belief and then there's belief. Years ago, the great Walenda, you may have heard of him. He was a high wire artist, walked across that single wire. He's the one that walked across the wire in Wakulla Falls back in the 70s. You may remember that, those of you who go back that far. He used to have a little thing he did. He would take a wheelbarrow, special built, that would the front wheel would lock onto that wire, and he would roll the wheelbarrow all the way across to the other side of the wire, across some canyon or between two buildings that were 50 stories tall or something. And then he'd shout down to the crowd, do you think I can do it again? And they'd go, yes. And so he'd turn around and he'd go back with the wheelbarrow again. And he'd turn to the crowd. He said, do you think I can do it again? Yes. And he'd go do it again. And he'd say, does everybody think I can do it again? Yes. Well, who'll go with me? And he offered to put somebody in the wheelbarrow and take them up. You know, oddly, he rarely got anybody to take him up on that. He had to have one of his preset helpers who'd seen him do it 1,000 times before go across in the wheelbarrow with him. It's one thing to believe. It's another thing to embrace. It's another thing to say, I will live my life in the light of the crucifixion. Another thing about Walenda was he was amazing. He was astounding. But ultimately, he was imperfect. He fell to his death. But Paul says to you and me, Jesus will never do that. He will never let you down. You can embrace the cross, you can embrace the Christ, and he will never fail you. You can do it with confidence. After all, we should embrace the cross because it's my sin that put him there and yours. It is his love that held him there. My forgiveness and your forgiveness was purchased there. And those truths must from this day forward radically impact our lives if we're going to embrace Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. To the extent, as Paul goes on to say, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Brothers and sisters, this is resurrection. Have you ever thought about this verse that way? Yes, Christ arose really and truly and physically. But every time Christ is formed in someone's life through salvation, there is a new resurrection within that individual, and the power and the Spirit of Christ is present in that life. The same power that brought Jesus up out of the tomb dwells in you and me if we belong to him and we follow after him. It is no longer I who live. We have to say this because we can't do that, right? But Jesus can. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. His life that was laid down at the cross must now be lived out through me, because after all, that is the resurrection that people are going to see. The resurrected Christ that people will see today and tomorrow is the resurrected Christ in your life and in mine. The consistent testimony of that power is what transformed the Roman Empire in just a little bit more than 300 years. That same power can still transform this world today. It has not diminished with the passage of time. The only valid response to the cross is the radical commitment of your life and mine to his kingdom. And after all, what other life could possibly compare to this? What other life could even stand knee-high to a life dedicated to the glory of God, to his purpose, to his kingdom, to his priorities? There are many other people living many other kinds of lives. Those lives will falter and fail. Those lives will fade away. Even the most wealthy and even the most famous will fade away to nothing. History is littered with people who used to be known by everybody. And then there's everyday people like you and me who never make the headlines, never will. But if Christ lives in us, then the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose name will never be forgotten, is you and is me as we live our lives out in front of the world. We are the resurrected presence of Jesus in this world. And Paul goes on to say, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I hope whenever you read those words that you can resonate with them the same way that they must have resonated for Paul. Because remember who Paul was. He was Saul. He was the man who led the persecution in its earliest days and phases against the Christians. He was responsible for the beatings and the imprisonments and the murders of early Christians. He was the man, if any other man had ever lived, who could legitimately say, I don't deserve Christ's love, it probably would have been Paul. And yet Paul is able to say, to write, to communicate, he loved me and he gave himself for me. In spite of everything, you think about the things you struggle with. You think about your failings and your falterings and the places where you come up short. You're still loved. The cross is still for you. As a matter of fact, it's because of those things and because of that love that the cross happened. Jesus did what it took to bring you into his family, into his presence, into his love. This, Paul said, is the life worth living. The world may well call such a life a foolish choice. Oh, think about all the things you're missing. You stuffy Christians who'd say, I can't do this and I can't do this and I will do this and I won't do that. Think of all the things you're missing. Yeah, I'm thinking about all the things I'm missing. Like eternity apart from God, I'm missing that. Like darkness forever, I'm missing that. I'm also thinking about all the things that I'm given. Love without question, unconditional love, the forgiveness of my sins, the rehabilitation of my soul, the gifting into my life of a family that extends beyond my biological family into my eternal family. You can't take it with you, with the exception of the family of God. You, I can take with me. What a treasure you are. As Paul told the Philippians, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them all as rubbish, if I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. There he is embracing the cross again. If by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Remember what Jesus is called. He is the firstborn of the resurrection. We are following in his footsteps, following in that same resurrection power. Let the world call you a fool and keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll show you how it's done and invite you to do it that way too. He'll light up the path. He'll give you the strength for today. He'll give you the hope for tomorrow. He'll keep his promise for eternity. Crucified with Christ, resurrected to new life. That, Ray, is the life worth living. Amen. Let's pray.